January 14th. That evening, I learned another strange term, namely the expression have-beens, applied to those citizens who were dispossessed by the revolution and who have been unable to adapt to the new situation.
Has-been – бывшие люди в нашем, в русском переводе, да? Бывшие люди.
And then January 20th at the home of the bank director Maximilian Schick. He is probably a fitting example of what they here call a, quote, has-been, a has-been. Not only is he this from the sociological point of view, but even his productive period has been. He used to publish poems, for example, as well as articles in magazines that are now long forgotten. Over tea, I tried to get some information about contemporary Russian literature out of him. My efforts were in vain. Beyond Bryusov, there's little that he appreciates. So we find in these passages from Moscow Diary a series of references to different individuals who have struggled to adapt to a changing society, who have, in a sense, resisted or even outlived adaptation, politically, intellectually, aesthetically, socially. Here, Benjamin, I would argue, is invoking the importance of continual adaptation as a form of political and intellectual survival. Linguistically, I also wanted to highlight this strange linguistic construction, the has-been or the have-been, which, at least in English, in translation, has a very pejorative connotation. Linguistically speaking, we'd call this a present perfect continuous noun. It signals a prior temporal moment that extends unchanged into the present. Another linguistic way to approach this term is that the construction stages twice, doubly, both with the has and the been, the situation of being out of joint with society, being connected but also fundamentally disconnected from the present. So here the lack of contemporaneity is doubly emphasized and functions as a derogatory appellation for an individual who's not evolved alongside historical and political developments. In the diary, it's as if this term, this derogatory term, replaces the subject's given name. As if in their inability to adapt, they lose, in a way, their given name, they lose their identity altogether. So my central point is that this phrase is not just any phrase. It's a central trope. It's a central concept, a formula that has relevance today and that we should apply to all sorts of contexts, including those that are political, intellectual, aesthetic, personal, temporal, and spatial. For me, the central question in the diary, in the context of Moscow, is this tendency that he's torn between the bourgeois tendencies that he wants to avoid, but also the revolutionary politics that he finds incredibly dogmatic. And he's struggling with the question of how to affiliate and how to associate in life in a way that at the same time allows him to cultivate independence. So the question of how to adapt to a revolutionary moment in history, remaining marginal and liminal to that moment, but at the same time, you know, adapting to that moment, is, I think, this fundamental question for him. How to be both at one and the same time independent and individual, but at the same time affiliated. And so I don't think for Benjamin this is something that one is ever done with. I think this is a fundamental struggle and question that one continually reflects on, one continually strays through. And in a way, it's an existential question, I think, to go back to what Ksenia was just saying, that constitutes his subjectivity. I don't think this is just a question that concerns him as a political subject. I also think it fundamentally concerns him as an intellectual who doesn't want, again, to be predetermined by a party affiliation and a field of a discursive field of force, as he at one point refers to the party. It also concerns his relationship to theater. Throughout, he struggles to relate to the aesthetics that he finds in the theater here in Moscow. He finds these theaters outmoded, overly theatrical, reductive. It even concerns his most intimate and his emotive constitution, his own relationship to this love that has brought him to Moscow, Asya, who represents an impossible love. So he even struggles with that question of affiliation there. So what I want to propose finally is that Benjamin is developing here a series of new economies of straying, new tactics of straying, again, avoiding conformity on the one hand, but at the same time avoiding exhaustion and obsolescence. So finally, I wanted to say something that really brings us to the present. As the director of a cultural institution in Philadelphia, I think it's really important to note Benjamin's relation and experience of the cultural landscape in Moscow is one of continual and total disenchantment. He moves through so many theaters nearly every day. Yet these spaces are obsolete to him. They're naive. They're reductive. They've given way to an overly theatrical staging of history. So I'm interested in what we can learn, what I personally can learn from this diary, from this conception, and from this, in a way, misunderstanding, this non-relation that he has to theater here, and what that, again, can mean politically, economically, and aesthetically, and how that, again, can inform the politics and practices of a contemporary cultural organization. And so I guess I'm interested in thinking about how, with Benjamin in mind, we can navigate and negotiate on an institutional level, not just an individual level, the social and the political implications of affiliation in a way that allows us to be at once marginal and responsive, independent and interdependent.